Our sermon title this morning is A Low Place, But a High Hope. This is a very familiar text that we have all heard at one time or another. I remember this text drawing much attention back in the early 90s when Bishop T.D. Jakes released the book and then began an annual women's conference called Woman, Thou Art Loosed. I remember the book, and I also attended one of his conferences where I heard Bishop Jakes preach about the plight of women during biblical times and how their situations relate to us now. This story opens up with a father trying to get to Jesus to help his very sick little girl who was near death. The father, Jairus, is a man of authority and had financial means. He is a ruler of the area synagogue. But he doesn't go to the high priest. He doesn't go to the Pharisees. He doesn't go to the Sadducees. He goes looking for Jesus. Jesus doesn't look at Jairus' social status or his financial worth. Yes, Jesus came to help the poor, the marginalized, and bring attention to the needs of the poor. But he doesn't have a problem with people who are not poor. You see, the Bible doesn't say specifically that Lazarus was a man of means, but I believe that he was. You see, Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, was Jesus' best friends. In fact, his family became, they became his family during his ministry. Their home was where Jesus went to rest, relax, and enjoy some good home-cooked meals. Jesus doesn't have a problem with people who are of means. He teaches that those who are of means should not be blinded to those who are suffering among us. Those who have means are called to help those who are poor, the orphans, the widow, and those who are challenged. In fact, Jesus says in his word to his disciples, "You will always have the poor among you." But it doesn't mean that we are not to reach out and help them. Now, Jesus agrees to go to Jairus' house to see about his little sick girl. But something happened on the way. A woman suffering 12 years from a female condition enters the scene. The crowd is pressing, and Jesus' 12 disciples are all around him, trying their best to shield him from the press of the great crowd. This biblical text is written in such a way that it helps us to witness the power of the gospel message through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. The writers who are inspired by the Holy Spirit to include this story in the Gospels, not just to demonstrate the healing power of Jesus, but to help us see the transition from what was relative in the Levitical law and what Jesus came to make relevant through the Spirit of the living God. The Levitical law says that this woman with an issue of blood was unclean and could not be present in public, and certainly not so close that she could touch Jesus' robe. The word of God teaches us through the blood of Jesus, anyone, regardless of your past, your present circumstance or situation, can come to Jesus and find help. I was drawn to this passage of scripture found in the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But today I'm working with the Gospel of Luke because it tells the entire story in greater detail. Now, although there are other healings of women recorded in the Gospels, such as the woman that Jesus healed who was sick for 18 years, and then there was Peter's mother whom Jesus healed. She had a threatening fever. But there's something different about this woman. She came to Jesus. Jesus didn't go to her. This unnamed woman who had an issue of blood represents you and me. Her situation, her ailment was just something that just happened to be of the birthing seat. We might have some other issues, some other illness, some other concerns, but we are her. Let us just for a moment journey back in time to the streets of Galilee so that we might see that even then Jesus had us on his mind. You see, Jesus had just returned to the area with his disciples, and the crowd was expecting him. Jesus had been traveling throughout the land, teaching and preaching, healing the sick, feeding the multitudes, walking on water, calming the seas, and releasing those captive by demons. The people had heard that Jesus was coming. So on their way to Galilee, Jesus took time to teach his disciples yet another lesson. Peter discovered that with Jesus, he could walk on water. And the others discovered that with Jesus, there was no storm that he couldn't handle. They all discovered that with Jesus, the demons must flee. That's good news for us today. We are followers of Jesus Christ. And just as the 12 came to realize, we too must realize that there is nothing too big for God. Now, when Jesus and his disciples came into plain sight, Jairus, no doubt, was waiting, come running towards Jesus and fell at his feet, crying out to him, "Please come to my house. My young daughter is very sick and I fear that she will die if you do not come." It's amazing how the one whom we fight against, ignores you and talk about you, will step on you if they got a chance to come looking for you when there's trouble. Now Jesus, knowing the truth, never questions Jairus. He just started walking towards Jairus' house. As Jesus was going, the woman with the issue of blood pressed her unclean self through the crowd, hoping to just get to Jesus. The crowd was massive, all following behind Jesus, just trying to be in his presence. They came hoping for a miracle, anticipating a miracle, asking the question within, "Will I receive a miracle today?" You see, others had been already healed. Others had already been blessed. Others were excited about Jesus. Why not me? That's what was going through their minds. As everyone was pressing to be near to Jesus, they were crowding him out. But the spotlight moves to this unknown, otherwise insignificant person. For today was her day for a miracle. Today was her day for significance. You see, she knew that she had to press her way forward to get close to Jesus. The Bible tells us very little about this woman, but thankfully it sheds some light on how wonderful this miracle was for her. She had been bleeding for 12 years, suffering and in pain. She had seen many doctors who promised her healing, but no one was able to heal her. She was now broke, having spent all that she had on treatment, but they all failed. As Jesus continued to walk in the direction of Jairus' house, the crowd grew larger and larger. They knew that they couldn't get too close because his disciples was all around. But this unknown, unnamed woman had an issue. She had been praying for healing. She had heard Jesus was coming. She had had a talk with herself about her situation. This was one of those do or die situations. She had to find a way to get to the only one who had the power to change her situation. Have you ever had a situation that you had to talk to yourself about? Have you ever had a situation that you knew that you had to stop complaining and trust God? Have you ever had a situation that you knew that only God could change it? Just a touch from the master was all that she needed. A low place, but a high hope. Her story, her situation, instead of getting better, had gotten worse. For 12 years, she was considered unclean and could not be touched by a clean person. It had been 12 years since she had been to the synagogue or any celebrations. It had been 12 years since she had enjoyed a Passover or a Sabbath service. It was 12 years since she had been able to go to temple as offerings were made for her atonement of sin. But although she was in a low place, she had a very high hope. Jesus was on the way and he was able to bring her out. For 12 years, she bore the emotional and psychological baggage of being unclean and untouchable. No kisses, no hugs, no kind of intimacy with her husband. She couldn't prepare her family meals. She couldn't do any housework. She couldn't be a wife or a mother. She sat isolated for 12 years staring at a wall. This woman was desperate for a miracle, a low place, but a high hope. A desperate situation calls for some desperate moves. This woman with an issue, a problem, managed to get behind Jesus. To avoid shame and embarrassment of being called unclean, she thinks to herself, No one will notice me. So if I just bow down low and slip my hand through the crowd, I could grab a hold of the hem of his garment. We too have to learn how to bow down low in prayer and give our issues and our problems to God. When the crowd pressed in on Jesus, causing him to slow down his pace, she knelt down low and got on her knees and stretched out her hands and grabbed the tassels on his robe. When she reached out, she believed in her heart that if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. The Bible says that as soon as she touched the border of his garment, she was healed. It was immediate. She didn't sit around and wonder if she got what she came for. She didn't call her family and friends and talk it over with them. She didn't ask the Hackensack University Medical Center of her time to run some tests to see if she was healed. She knew she was healed. She felt the power of the living God course through her body and made her whole. The blood stopped immediately. Our sister was desperate for a change in her life. She knew God could do it, so she stepped out on faith. As we study the Bible, we see that healing can fall into two categories, immediate and progressive. Sometimes the healing happens right away, that hour. And then sometimes the healing happens over time. I have a theory as to why her healing was immediate. This woman was so desperate for a healing, I believe that if God didn't heal her right away, Jesus would have had to drag her all through Galilee. She was desperate for her change. Have you ever gotten so desperate that no rules, no community, nobody was going to stop you from getting to Jesus? I can almost hear her say to herself, Jesus, I'm not letting you go till you heal me. Don't speed up now, Jesus. I need a miracle today. There are some things in life that can draw us to a place of desperation. We can pray and cry. But when we get to the place where we realize my situation requires action, it requires power from on high. We can pray, we can cry, we can complain, we can blame, we can talk, and we can talk. But until we're ready to do something about our situation and take some action, nothing will change. You see, Jesus was coming through. This ruler, this man of stature and power, ran in desperation for his daughter. This woman, this nobody, who was isolated from her family and her community, crawled out in desperation. This story teaches us that we can plan, we can pray, and we can hope. But life changes requires action. Jesus is coming through. What are you going to do? Jesus, knowing the healing power was drawn from his body, stopped in the midst of the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" Remember now, Jesus is practically being crushed by the crowd. And how could they respond to Jesus' question? "It wasn't me. I didn't touch you. Not me." To his disciples, this probably seemed like an insane question to ask at that moment. So fast-talking Peter says, Master, everybody's touching you. They're practically crushing us to death. What do you mean, who touched you?" But Jesus says, "Somebody touched me. I don't mean who touched me. I mean who touched me." You see, the Greek word here is to touch and to hold on. Who held on? Who pressed in? Who got so desperate for God that they would do things a little different this time? Somebody made a connection with the Almighty. Somebody got what they came here for, and I want to know who it is. When the woman realized that someone would recognize her and tell everyone about her condition, she got up from the ground and began to tell her story to Jesus. This woman who was just an interruption, just a speed bump on the road to Jairus' house, got her miracle. Jesus looked at her and says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. You came to God expecting him to do what he promised. You made a connection. Now go in peace. You can't come to this altar half-stepping. You can't come up here saying, 'Oh, Lord, if you would. Oh, Lord, if you could.' Yes, he can. And yes, he will. You got to press your way. You got to go after him. You got to remind him. You got to know his word so that you can repeat it to him. God, you promised." Jesus could have rebuked her for interrupting his trip. Jesus could have rebuked her for not following Levitical law and protocol. Instead, he wanted to make a personal contact with her to encourage her. Instead of quenching her flaming faith, Jesus fanned the flame. There are so many Christians who touch God. They read their Bible every once in a while. They pray over their food and when they can't pay their bills. They come to church and give an offering. They even help in some of the ministries. But we are not always making a connection with God. There are some people who won't come to God with their whole heart until they hit rock bottom. It's unfortunate that we act that way, because God is saying to us, "Seek me now that I might be found. I long to have a personal relationship with you, not just when the going gets tough. Don't reject me. Come to me now. Don't run after other gods. You have questions, I got answers. You got needs, I got solutions." Like this woman with the issue of blood, pressed in. She had a physical issue and a financial issue. She had a family and a friend issue, but not a faith issue. You see, after 12 years, her faith might have been a little low. She might have been at the end of her rope. She had nothing to lose. She lost her self-esteem and her dignity along the way. She was prepared to sacrifice. Her faith was low, but her hope was high. She was prepared to put her life on the line. You see, she could have been stoned for what she did. She couldn't walk upright. She had to crawl on her hands and knees. But she came anyway. She came disguising her face so that they wouldn't recognize her. There was a big crowd all around Jesus, but she crawled beneath their legs in order to touch his garment. This woman was polluted and untouchable, like someone who had leprosy, but she dared to touch the man called Jesus. We must remember, anyone that she touched became unclean. But she knew that there was one man she could touch, and it was Jesus. His purity would purify her. His cleanliness would make her clean. His holiness would make her holy. The hemorrhage, this issue of blood, no doubt, had made her anemic and weak. And she had given up as being incurable. When she heard about Jesus passing by, her faith rose up in her. She heard of his healings, and she was not going to let this opportunity pass her by. We need to stop and think about what this woman actually did that day. What was different this time? Touching the hem of the border of his garment? To everyone else, his garment must have looked ordinary. But in her eyes of faith, she saw a point of contact for her faith to bring a miracle through the healing power of God's word. Why didn't she touch his shoulder or his back or his foot? Jesus was a proper Jew, you see. He wore traditional clothing that included a prayer shawl or a mantle called a tallit. In Numbers 15:38 through 40 and Deuteronomy 22 and 12, it says, "God has commanded the Jew to wear fringes and tassels on their clothes. On this prayer shawl, there we will see four tassels. They are called tizzets, one on each corner of the shawl." The Jews believe that there were 613 commandments in the law. So each tassel has 613 threads representing God's word. Each tassel contains a blue thread, which represents God's power and authority. When they walk, they could see the tassels move back and forth. His prayer shawl was a lot longer than this. But this reminds us of God's promise to bless them if they walk in the power of his word. As she got close to Jesus and saw those tassels swinging back and forth, her faith went from low to high. This woman with an issue of blood touched one of those carefully tied tassels that hung on the hem of Jesus' garment with the distinctive blue thread and cord. What she was saying in her mind is, Lord, I am reminding you of the promise you made to us. And I believe I can be made whole. You see, Isaiah 53:4-5 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we will be healed. As she touched the friends and the tassel, she was reminding Jesus of his word found in Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain forever. You see, Jesus' compassion was stirred within him as he felt the virtue leave his body. He knew he could not deny her unspoken plea. In his deity as God-man, he knew who she was that had touched him. But he turned and requested that she made herself known. There is something more to this. Although this woman was seeking Jesus, he was also seeking her. He wanted her to confess it, not hide what God had done for her. He wanted the crowd around her to recognize. Though she was cast out as unclean, unfit, polluted, and not good enough, to know that once she was clean, she was made whole, she was made holy, healed physically as well as spiritually. You see, some of us, people look at us as though we might not be clean. You know, we might be unfit. We might not be good enough. But when we touch just the hem of his garment, Jesus shall make us whole. We shall walk in the newness of life. We shall run and not get weary. We shall mount up on wings of eagles and we shall not faint. He was not putting blame on her, but commending and encouraging and confirming her cure. You see, the gospel according to Mark tells us that the woman was fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told him all the truth. I believe she may have told the story of seeking many cures, but found none. I believe she confessed her sin and accepted Jesus as her Lord and her Savior. Adonai, Jesus heals and saves to the utmost. We might go forth and serve him as we serve others. Jesus was called by a desperate father to heal a dying little girl. On his way, this woman touched him, and she was healed. When the messenger came and told Jairus his daughter was dead, Jesus encouraged him and said, just believe. Then he goes and raised the little girl from the dead. Today, we can walk in confidence that God, who healed the sister with the issue of blood, is still healing on today. Like our sister and our brother Jairus, we have to have faith and press our way, knowing and believing that God can and that he will. You see, John 37b says, he that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. Suffering will make you examine your life. We must always ask ourselves, how is my relationship with the Lord? Am I willing to believe and touch the hem of his garment, reminding him of his word. When you touch God's promise with your faith, you touch Jesus, and you can have the miracle that you need on today. The word of God works. I challenge you to touch the hem of his garment. Remember, his cleanness will make you clean. His stripes will bring you healing. His presence will bring you fullness of joy, comfort, and companionship. His wisdom and peace will bring you the prosperity you need in your life. Dare to touch Jesus. 2 Chronicles 16:9, I'm almost there. 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the world to show himself strong in behalf of them whose hearts are fully committed to him." His eyes are running to and fro in this crowd, in this church, looking for the one who would touch him, that they would make a connection with Jesus. You see, you can be in a low place, but have some high hopes. Just a touch of the healing power of Jesus can change your life. Just a touch of the strength we can find in the Master. Just a touch of his love that sustains us. We were not promised that we would have life without trials and tribulations, but we were promised that Jesus has overcome the world. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. We can have a relationship with the Lord. We can be in a low place, but have some high hopes. When the road gets rough, just a touch is all we need. When our money gets funny and there's more bills than there is money, just a touch is all that we need. There might be some difficult times, and may we even get a little tired. But just like our sister and our brother, we have to step out on faith and give Jesus a try. You see the prayer shawl tassel she touched as she crawled on the ground, we too can touch as we bend on our knees in prayer. We know that it's true. And so I say to you today as I close, in faith, initiate your miracle. Crawl before Jesus if you must, but grab a hold until he bless you. You might be in a low place, but I want you to have some high hopes. I want you to know that God is able, that God can do anything but fail. He made it so in his word. He came to us over 2,000 years ago. He walked this earth for 33 years. He preached, he teached, he healed, he gave sight to the blind. He removed demons from those that were demon-possessed. Jesus can do anything. You see, he can make your situation turn around. He can heal your sick body. He can bring you out of a place of darkness into this marvelous light. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God that wants you to press in. Can you press in today? Can you stand on the word of God and say, God, I will not let go until you bless me. I don't care what my family say. I don't care what my friends say. I know what the word of God says. He can turn your situation around. He can make you anew. When everybody else have turned their back on you, Jesus is still standing. He's still waiting. He's still holding on, waiting for you to press in that you might be blessed. You can't press in if you don't know the Master. You can't press in until you have a relationship with him. You can't press in until you confess him as Lord. Jesus is calling today. I know many people, I've heard other preachers say that those miracles was for that time. They're not for today. But I beg to differ. There's some miracles sitting right here in this room. I'm looking at Miss Juanetta Jones. That's a miracle you see sitting right there. I'm looking at Deacon Robinson. That's a miracle sitting right there. I'm looking at Deacon Hodge. That's a miracle sitting right there. I'm looking at Sister Birdie Farrell. That's a miracle sitting right before us. When our superintendent of Sunday school's grandbaby was born, he just made an ounce. I went to the hospital and prayed and anointed him. And when I look at the pictures of little Cairo now, I see a miracle standing before me. This baby is now almost 20 pounds. God is a good God. He can do anything but fail. But I know that Sister Parker pressed through. Sister Parker did not give up. Sister Parker knew that the Lord could bring her grandbaby through. She was praying and pressing, praying and pressing, praying and pressing. Deacon, you got to pray. You got to press. You got to pray. You got to press, brother. Pray and press, and God will heal your body. Sister Marion, you prayed and you pressed. You prayed and you pressed. And here you stand to give glory unto God. She prayed and she pressed. And I know that there's other miracles in here. And some of you still can't get with it. You still say, the doctors did not do it. No, they did not. King Jesus healed their bodies. The doctor can do what the doctor can do. But Jesus can do anything but fail. Jesus will pick you up and turn you around. Jesus will stand with you when everybody has walked out on you. Jesus will be there in the midnight hour. Jesus knows you're going in and you're coming out. Press to the mark of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus. Press through like the woman with the issue of blood. Everybody had given up on her. She didn't know where else to go but to Jesus. Press through for your healing today. Press through for that job you might need. Press through for that family situation that you're praying and asking God to deliver you from. Step through. Step through the veil. Get on your knees if you must. Crawl if you must. He's worthy enough that you could crawl. Get down on your knees and say, God, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from thee, where shall I go? Press. Press through until God change your situation. He's looking for some faith people. He's looking for some people that believe in him. That believe in him. That believe in him. That believe in him. And if nobody will touch and agree with you, you know you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they will touch and agree with you. Press through for the healing. Let us stand to our feet now. Deacon Burns, God's got a miracle for you. Press through. Press through. Press through. Don't you dare give up. You press through, brother. You press through and know that God is able. He's no respecter of persons. If he did it for one, he'll do it for another.